The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? Think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down! This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page, find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler. At AJ is the real, at producer T Scott. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. We're out here at Prime Social on Westheimer. You know exactly where it is. Right next to Molina's, where I went for lunch before I came over.
And after further review?
Yeah.
I blew it.
I think we're all in agreement that.
Yeah.
And I think the only difference, because once you explain the whole situation, and I didn't realize it was a money bubble, the only difference is I would have flatted with it. And not raised,
yeah.
I'm not faulting the raise because that's a more aggressive and more standard play. Either way, I think you could have folded for $36,000.
Yep, I should have.
And just let it play, especially with your stack. At that point, you're just
I still would have been the second stack even if I fold that.
And you know, at that point, you're that close. Yeah, that's
that guy just took
get in the money because you're going to chop.
That guy just took 23% of the prize pool. That's strong.
Yeah, that's a good finish.
With 10 people, he took 23%.
Yeah, well, probably the right move. But, yeah, especially knowing you're going to chop at that point, because they always do with that much. Yeah, I think that was a wrong call.
Yep.
What else is up, man?
Yeah. You know, sports, stuff like that.
Got your guys fight tonight?
Yeah, I'm going to head out of here at 6. Made weight yesterday, and he's feeling good today, so I'm excited. It's
cool.
It's going to be stressful, but I'm excited.
Got Jermaine Every's going to come pop in for the last
nice.
Hour. So, you know.
Is he a member here?
No, but they'll let him in.
Okay.
They just I was telling Barry, of all the things that I keep forgetting to replace.
Your membership card here?
Yeah. So I had to get a new membership card, which is cool, but I'm hoping the wife's going out with her friends tonight, because I'm going to stick around and play cash if that's the case.
Yeah.
Because the bug has bitten me again.
Oh, boy.
I've stepped away for a while, and then when you texted me about playing today, my first thought was hell yes. And then I realized, well, we can't have all me and Lance in this thing going this far, because if it's two of the three of us are done, that's cool. But
yeah.
I don't want Barry and Joe. I mean, one of us needs to be here, and I'm not going to go and play it to not try to go deep. So, but I'll do one of these at some point. I've already got the Vegas plan lined up, man.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have a good time up there.
Yeah, we're gonna hit the Aria.
Could have had an even better time, man.
Yeah, well, you know what? We still got a couple weeks before we're gone.
All right.
A lot of things can happen. So, did you see who the coach with Zach Smith was at the strip club?
No.
Reportedly, one Thom Herman.
Oh really?
Yeah. TMZ says report says that. The incident that was mentioned where he ran up a significant bill at a local strip club along with another OSU football coach in 2014 because he was on an official OSU recruiting trip and at least one high school football coach was also at the club. Smith got reprimanded and threatened to fire him if it happened again. The report did not identify the other OSU coach, but Smith's Instagram page may hold the clue. On May 7th, 2014, Smith posted about being in Florida with Thom Herman.
Well,
the strip club stuff, come on. Coaches do that all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the big deal is necessarily.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776.
They're allowed to hit the strip club if they want.
Yeah. 409 has a good question, because we talked about this a little bit last segment, but how does the table decide if the pot is chopped?
Everybody has to agree to it.
Everybody has to agree. It's not a majority.
If there's
one guy that says no. Yeah.
Every time here that I've been to the final table, everybody's agreed to chop.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll wait till it gets down to 9, but for the most part, it's always.
You know what? I realized last night when I was thinking about a couple of these big tournaments I want to play, I haven't played heads up in forever because almost every tournament, I think the last time I was heads up was one of the ones in Vegas where a guy wouldn't chop.
Yeah.
And I wound up beating him, but that was probably 3 trips ago. So I probably haven't played heads up in 2 years.
It's funny. That's when I mean, that's my favorite way to play.
Yeah, and I feel really good about my heads up skills, but not. To, I mean, when you don't do it for 2 years,
yeah.
I don't even know what I would do now. So
that's why I'm always kind of hesitant to chop. Well, because I don't mind getting down to it.
I might go ahead and go dickweed in Vegas if it gets down to 3 or 4, just so I can play heads up.
Right.
Because I really feel like I need to, you know, get back into that.
Well, yeah, I'm going to be sick for the rest of the day about that one.
Yeah, it happens.
Lance made like $300, he said.
Yeah, 301, I think.
301. Hey, listen, bet it's better than zero.
He said he's stopping by the Specs on the way home.
There you go.
Which is what I hit on the way over here.
Yep.
Left the gym, went to the Specs. They had a bottle of Single Barrel there, so I added that to my collection. Not that I need more whiskey right now.
That's the thing. I would have paid for a nice bottle. That's too bad.
Ah. Oh, well, what are you going to do?
What are you going to
do? You're going to shake it off.
Shake it up. You're going to regroup.
It's going to bother you until, I'm going to say, probably up until the fight. And if your guy loses, then you're going to be thinking about it all night.
Yeah, probably.
Too. But good run, though, man.
Thanks, man.
That's the thing. I thought, just watch this. Oh, yeah, he's got this. I've seen this before.
Yeah, but that's. Where that's the game where one mistake can ruin a whole day's worth of good work.
Well, and that's tournament play too.
Yep,
and it also shows where you got to get lucky. I mean, he if he doesn't wake up to aces there, if it's ace nine again, you know. But oh well.
That's what I told him. I was like, I said, dude, you showed me ace five and ace seven. Like you got to an all in with both, you know, with ace five, ace seven, ace nine. And I was like, I just put you on another ace again, and I was betting that mine was better. And it wasn't.
There would have been. No, there was only one card that was better.
Only one better.
He was the only one with the better ace. Yeah, I. But I think in that situation, yeah, that was a misstep.
Yeah. The but, insult to injury is the king on the river.
Yeah, I didn't even ask how the board ran out.
Yeah.
So do you see who's did you get to watch any of that Browns Eagles mess last night?
Not a lot of it. You know, I only ingest Browns football via Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
So I don't care about anything that happens except what happens on Hard Knocks. So I'll catch up with it on Tuesday.
Yeah, it was.
I saw the Taylor injury.
Taylor was injured. They had two players injured. The Eagles had one injured. I really wish that. Well, I mean, Taylor's situation's a little different because he's your stopgap quarterback. But, man, it makes me really wonder about O'Brien playing these guys Saturday night. And I know you've got to get them into shape. I know you need to get at least a little more conditioning. But realistically, man, I'd rather them play themselves into shape over the first two games of the regular season.
I'm kind of with you. What are your thoughts on the Jets basically saying Sam Darnold's going to play into the third quarter of the game this week? I mean, Sam Darnold's going to be the starting quarterback there.
Yeah.
And I know he's a young guy, but you're going to put him out there for three quarters of meaningless football?
Well, as long as you're leaving the starting offensive line out there with him.
You got to do that.
Because, I mean, I know you want to get him.
Now you're risking even more guys. You know what
I
mean?
Well, like, yeah, but if you're going to get him reps, you better have the starters out there with him. You don't want some third-string tackle blowing a block and then he gets eaten.
I just don't want anybody blowing a block. I don't want anybody with a
– Well, but I mean,
wouldn't even give him a chance.
But that, I'm okay with a rookie playing more. I think in that case you want him out there. If you want him ready for the regular season.
I mean, is his situation really way different from Deshaun Watson's?
At least Deshaun Watson's seen NFL games on Sundays, and Darnold hasn't.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the more he sees here, the better, I think.
I'd let him learn the way Watson learned on the fly. Seem to work out for him.
Yeah, but everybody's different. It says, I never chop until the short stacks are gone. Call me an a-hole, but I don't invest hours of my time to give a break to inferior players. And if I'm short stack next time, oh well, I need to play better defense.
Like I said, that's me in Vegas.
Yeah, but I would also say it doesn't mean they're inferior players if they have a shorter stack. You get to the end of a tournament like this where the blinds are and a lot of it's bingo, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. And
typically, I mean, you play here for, I mean, what time did I get to? I mean, that was basically 5 hours.
5.5 hours, yeah.
You play for 5 hours. Most of the inferior players are gone. I mean, that's, and you know what? I made an inferior player move, so I deserve to be gone too.
Oh, well.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about Gulfgate. It's Gulfgate time. The savings never stop out of Gulfgate. They're your savings headquarters Monday through Friday and every Sunday. The summer clearance event rolls on at Gulfgate Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, and it rolls right into the Labor Day event where you lease a new 2018 Jeep Wrangler Unlimited Sport 4x4, just $185 per month. If you're not into a Jeep, they've got the largest Ram inventory in the loop, every color, every option you could imagine. They've got you covered. They've got a new state-of-the-art service center that's now open, twice the size to service twice the vehicles by their certified technicians. Gulfgate Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, 610 South Loop East and Gulf Freeway, and always online at gulfgatedodge.com. It's a 2018 Jeep Wrangler, 36-month closed-in lease, $8,030 down, payment of $185.19. Total due at signing, $82,015.19. Tax, title, and registration additional. See dealer for details. That's Gulfgate Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. My buddy Scotty says, tell you to turn the page.
Yep.
That was our horse race thing.
It's all good.
Like, after something like that, you could vent for 5 minutes, and then you turn the page.
A lot of people have tweeted me some positive, some negative about my sports map rankings for fantasy football. The guy who would you think is the guy who's been the most polarizing that I've gotten the most interaction about?
Deshaun?
No, Drew Brees.
Real? Oh, well, we have a huge...
Like, it's unbelievable to people that I put Drew Brees as a second-tier quarterback. Which, by the way...
He's a man. He's 40.
The first tier is Rodgers, Wilson, Brady. And honestly, if I was going to put another guy in the first tier, I think it would have been Cam Newton. Drew Brees was ninth amongst fantasy football quarterbacks last year. Ninth. So if you draft Drew Brees as a tier one guy, good luck, bro.
I love Drew Brees. I love the Saints. They will forever have a very important part in my heart for their Super Bowl win. But, you know, he's not Drew Brees from 3 years ago even. And at some point it's going to hit. And
they're lowering his workload. I mean,
yeah, and which is good. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, last year was the first year he hasn't had 600 pass attempts healthy. In his Saints career.
But I think from a fantasy perspective, yeah, I think there's a lot to be, you know.
There's better guys.
Yeah, not that. Now, here's the problem. Because, like, if you're drafting in Houston, Deshaun Watson goes too high. Zeke Elliott goes too high. Well, he can't really go too high. Yeah. I could see him going one in some leagues. But Deshaun's going to go too high. Dak's going to go too high. Drew Brees is going to go too high. Because you're either going to have two Saints fans, two Cowboys fans, and six Texans fans in there. In almost every draft you do.
Yeah.
So guys like that are going to go too high. And for me, Drew Brees would be a guy I'd love to get later.
You just won't.
But you won't. So speaking of sports map, we've got Patrick Creighton's story on there. Joel has a couple videos. I did a video on picks and plays for Saturday's Travers at Saratoga for those of you who wanted some horse racing. And we'll see how that goes. If nobody likes it, we'll just go back to doing the written thing. Or we won't do them at all. You've got your fantasy football tiers. Some other really good stuff on the site. Jerry Bowe's Bookie Busters. He continues to murder it. I know he got one right because I bet on it today. Just, I mean, I'm just blindly following his soccer plays. We have our first Cowboys report from our buddy Roger, who's going to be doing those for us. Turned out really well. Charlie Palillo tells us about tomorrow's Texans preseason game, along with some other stuff. And the Harris County Houston Sports Insider is Houston hoping to land NCAA Women's Final Four. Yeah. What do you mean?
Hmm.
No, I know you love that. I know you'd be excited.
Would you cover that?
Would I cover it?
Yeah. Would you send somebody out there for sports map?
We'd probably write something, but.
Who's we? Me?
Not me. Not you.
some peon?
Yeah.
Hey, did you see that Urban Meyer is now contrite?
Yes, I did.
This is the statement from Urban Meyer, who I think finally his agent or whoever has gotten to him and said, hey, the best way to deal with this is just to be like, you know what? I did some things wrong. Don't say exactly what you did wrong.
Right,
but just
don't
say,
admit to anything.
Just say, I didn't handle this as well as I could have. And he says, my words and demeanor on Wednesday did not show how seriously I take relationship violence. I sincerely apologize. I was taught at a very young age that if I ever hit a woman, I would be kicked out of the house and never welcomed back. I have the same rule in my house and in the football program at Ohio State. Over the years, we have worked hard to educate and remind our coaches and players of the seriousness of relationship violence. I understand my lack of more action in this situation has raised concerns about this commitment. I once again apologize for this, and I extend my empathy to all women, men, and families who are affected by relationship violence. This has been a real learning experience for me. I fully intend to use my voice more effectively to be a part of the solution. Let me say here and now what I should have said on Wednesday. I sincerely apologize to Courtney Smith and her children for what they have gone through.
There's nothing worse than the day after reaction apology to you being ripped. And I'm sorry, man. Stick by your guns. If you think she was lying about all this stuff, why do you apologize to her? She got a bunch of criticism? I don't like that.
I don't like that.
Because anything you say today is bull bleep. It really is. It's just kind of, this is how people reacted to me. Now I have to say this because this is what the public expects me to say.
Yeah.
To me, that's even more disingenuous than what you said yesterday.
Well.
Because everybody said, apologize to Courtney Smith.
What, are you saying that he's a disingenuous guy?
Well, of course. We know he's a turd. And it'll be interesting to hear what RJ has to say about him.
Yeah.
So, I assume we'll have RJ today that he's not, since he missed last week. But 713-780-ESPN. People keep asking me, where did I go out early? I didn't play today. I wanted to, but I also had some business to take care of. You know, it's a job. There's the fun part of the day, which is now, and then there's the job part of the day, which is the rest of the time.
Yeah.
But really working on a lot of stuff for Sports Map moving forward. So pretty excited about some of those things. See who is the current favorite to be the number one pick in the 2019 NFL draft? I have odds.
The fact that you bring it up makes me want to say Ed Oliver.
Third favorite.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, I think that's pretty impressive to see him.
I mean,
plus 550.
A guy from UH being
And I think it depends on what team winds up with it. If it's a team with a quarterback.
Right.
He's got a chance of being drafted there.
With all the bad teams who took quarterbacks this offseason, this is the year that it would least surprise me if a non-quarterback went first. Because normally I just assume it's safe to say
Right. Quarterback's
probably going to go first.
Well, and in truth, if it's a team that already has a quarterback,
right,
then they're probably going to trade the pick.
Right. So the guys that I would say are in that conversation are Ed Oliver and what's Joey Bosa's brother's name?
Nick Bosa.
Nick Bosa. Those would be probably my top two. I know there's always a tackle from Wisconsin, but there's another tackle from Wisconsin. I don't know who else I can even think of. Maybe what? Raekwon Davis.
He's plus 2,500.
Okay.
So
if I was picking a quarterback, I'd probably say Justin Herbert.
Plus 550 with Ed Oliver co-third choice.
Okay. Well, who's
two quarterbacks ahead of him?
Ooh.
So I'll tell you what you have so far. Oliver plus 550, Herbert plus 550, Bosa plus 850, Greg Little plus 1,000, Dexter Lawrence plus 1,200, Will Greer plus 2,500, Shea Patterson 25.
Oh, Shea Patterson was my next pick. What about Jared Stidham?
Jared Stidham, 420, second choice.
Oh, who's number one?
I think you're going to be surprised.
I think I am.
Drew Lock.
No joke.
Drew Lock of Missouri is the favorite to go first.
Y'all have that.
At plus 300. I might actually – I'm kind of with you on the quarterback thing. I think there might be some value in Oliver and Bosa.
I think so too. I mean, it's always tough. I mean, those are especially with Oliver because that's a pretty specialized position that he plays. It like a pass rusher is a pass rusher is a pass rusher. You can whatever your system is, you can fit a guy like Nick Bosa probably. Whereas Ed Oliver is it's a position that not every team is going to think he's a perfect fit for. You know what I mean?
Right.
And not
although I'm pretty sure he could play anywhere on a line.
He's a pretty versatile dude.
I'm not putting Aaron Donald on him, but he's that kind of player in where you can move him.
Yeah.
Like you could put Aaron Donald defensive end.
You could
put Aaron Donald in the middle. Whatever you do with him, you can put him in a 3-4. You can put him in a 4-3. He's going to be a badass. I don't know that he'll be – well, nobody's as badass as Aaron Donald, in my opinion. But
if he's almost as badass as Aaron Donald, he should be the first pick.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. But remember, Aaron Donald went 13th. A lot of teams –
A lot of teams didn't share.
I recall they thought he was undersized for the position.
Well, now they know. I mean, look where JJ went.
Yeah, 11th. Yeah,
he's pizza boy.
Pizza boy. What are y'all drinking today? I had coffee earlier. We got
sugar,
a Red Bull,
sugar-free Red Bull.
Yeah. Okay. No whiskey or anything.
No.
Sorry.
Whiskeyed it up yesterday. I've got to stay sober.
Yeah, you're.
I have work to do tonight.
You're coaching.
Yeah.
So. It's easy to have a few drinks and do the show. It's another thing.
Yeah, it's totally
different. When your guy's getting punched in the face.
Exactly.
So, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776, if you wish to text the show. Do we have something here, Tyler, or no? Okay. Well, then let's just go to break. On the clock for a change. When we come back, be our buddy R.J. Bell. Talk a little gambling pretty much for the next half hour. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
We are back on The Blitz, live here at Prime Social. A little poker going on out here, as always. Guess what it's time for? That music means the gambling guru of the universe. And also a little bit of a newsbreaker when he came to Ohio State this week. Our buddy R.J. Bell. R.J., sorry for your loss last week, man. Good to have you back.
Oh, I appreciate it. My grandfather passed away at 95. And, you know, up until like 93 and a half, it was great. And then it got tough. And, you know, so I think it was time. But, you know, I really took... put a lot of effort in the obituary, and I put it on my Twitter. And, you know, obviously, you know, you don't know, you know, even for the listeners, all who cares. Yeah, I hear you. But if you do, you know, enjoy the whole kind of greatest generation and, you know, storm the beaches of Normandy and all that stuff, it's a heck of a story. So I appreciate it, though.
So you were breaking a little news this week with the Urban Meyer stuff. I saw you got a lot of response to that.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting because you just don't know. And what I can say now, because it doesn't give everything away, is I was taught, or I had a connection with an attorney who does some work for the Ohio State Board of Trustees. So pretty inside source. And what he told me about 24 hours or so, a little bit more before the decision, was that Urban Meyer was pushing hard for zero games. For him, the symbolism of any kind of suspension was, hey, I did something wrong. And his take was, he didn't. Now, we can debate that, right? But that was what I reported, got a lot of attention. And what I said was, listen, the president was politically... relatively weak, AD, politically weak. So maybe there wasn't really going to be the ability to stand up to Meyer. Well, to me, the fact it came three games was really, and from what I hear, it was the president, you know, the Board of Trustees wanted to give him zero. The president, though, was adamant. That's, I guess, why the meeting went so long. And eventually, after all that time, in a way, it was kind of like good strategy, I guess. You know, if you do 9 hours and come out with nothing, you know, what does that even say in a weird way, right? Well, on one hand, you could say it says, oh, we gave it serious consideration. But I'll ask you guys this last question. If I would have given you an over-under of 2.5 games to be suspended, and if he got fired, it would have went over, let's say. Personally, I think I would have hammered
the under.
I would have hammered the under.
Me too. Because so, that third game being against TCU, Fred and I talked about this. Like, the first two games they could win with Urban Meyer's daughter coaching. That third game against TCU is like the first real game of the season for Ohio State. Like the first time they play a team that's, you know, but TCU doesn't have Ohio State's talent, but they're not a walkthrough. I said he'll be back for that game. I would have guessed they would have suspended him for two games.
So that's where you got to wonder, do the Buckeyes benefit? Because on one hand, the fact that it was a longer suspension than expected, you could say, wow, they took this seriously. On the other hand, there's a huge contingent online saying, and beyond, I'm sure, saying, oh, my gosh, if you don't fire him, it's the most egregious thing in the world, which to me sounds absurd, but it's out there. So, you know, it's almost back to Donald Trump. Is every other Republican ever has tried to kind of meet in the middle, but okay, if you're saying 100 and I'm saying 0, I'll give you 20 because I don't want to seem like, you know, I'm disregarding the left in this hypothetical. But I think what Trump figured out is the minute you start making any concession is the minute that they're never going to be pleased. And again, I think it cuts both ways, right? The right's the same way. And thus, no concession is the best because you're not going to win anything from it. If anything, you're going to show weakness. You're going to be admitting you're wrong. So I see why Urban Meyer didn't want to do that. But, boy, to go three games and not seemingly get any credit, I mean, what percentage of the response have you guys heard say, you know, I felt like the Buckeyes should take this seriously, and, you know, I'm happy that they did? Did you hear any of that?
No, almost everything has been, you know, it's an outrage, and he's, you know, he should have been fired and all this stuff. I think the only reason I would say it was okay for him to get three games is, okay, you destroyed some text messages. That's a little suspicious. But even then, I don't think that's three games. Basically, and now I don't have all the insight they have, but I sure look at this and go, you know, I don't think this thing is as cut and dried as people think. And if you found out more information later that, yeah, he knew all about it and didn't do anything and covered up, that's different. But, man, I sure don't see a whole hell of a lot there. I just think it's our outraged society now. We have to automatically think that some guy's the devil because – he didn't get rid of a coach that maybe he didn't believe the guy's wife.
And the fact that the outrage was there at three games, would it have been there much more at two? So it gets to that idea of if you are dealing with a critic, is to what degree do you concede and what do you gain from that? Some partial concession. And it feels like Ohio State didn't gain anything from their partial concession. But to me, it exceeded, as AJ said, what I would have expected.
Yeah, I agree with both you guys on that. Just one more on this, since I know you've got some ends there. How does this affect Urban's relationship with the school going forward from what you've heard?
You know, I don't have any great insight into that. My sense is in a weird way, if four out of the five people or seven of the eight or whatever the math was wanted to, you know, give you the best possible outcome, and one person just fought so hard not to and had the leverage to make it happen, then what are you going to do? You're going to feel good about everyone but the one person. So, you know, I don't have any personal insight into it, but it would seem in general it's probably still very positive for Ohio State because he obviously was supported by a big chunk of the people making the decision. Or at least involved
RJ
in
Bell?
The decision.
Oh, sorry there. We're out on location, which means I can barely hear you, so sorry about that. Didn't mean to jump on top of you there. So I know you've advocated playing preseason games at times. Is week three, where allegedly it mirrors the regular season the closest, is this the week to play or not play?
I think it's the week where you handicap differently. Is you and again, there's exceptions, but I think in general you look to handicap more like the regular season. Understanding each game, preseason is like a home poker game, right? Regular seasons hold them. Everyone knows the game, and you either win or you lose. But this is like low spade in the hole wins half the pot. One eye jack is wild kind of game, because every game's a little bit different. And to me, whenever you increase the variance, whenever you increase the uncertainty, the better handicappers excel. And I often say Phil Ivey and I playing heads up hold'em. Phil Ivey, likely the best poker player in the world, I would have a better chance against him, though not great, than playing heads up against him in like an 8-game rotation, where he's very, you know, he is a master at knowing a little bit about the game, but playing very well because his poker innate skill is so great. So a guy like Steve Fezzik, our main NFL guy, only guy to win the Super Contest twice, he is going to be able to handle this uncertainty a lot better than an average handicapper. So personally, I love the preseason, but it is a challenge, no doubt about it.
Looking at these World Series odds, and we asked about the Red Sox a couple months ago. They're now 3-1, Astros 6-1. The Dodgers still getting a lot of love, but heck, they might not even make the playoffs. Is there a value play a little deeper, especially looking at the NL teams, considering how close the wild card race is?
Yeah, I think what you tend to do, and we say this about once a month, but it's worth saying, you can't win the World Series if you don't make the playoffs. Okay? I don't know if you knew that, Fred. But
no, I'm a dumb. I don't know these things.
But the fact of the matter is, once you make the playoffs, history tells us, the analytics guys, the sabermetric guys tell us, you really can't handicap the playoffs all that effectively. There's not too much. If anything, it's really predictive. You might say, well, what about wins in the regular season? One team wins 118, other team wins 89. Yeah, history says, you know, no big difference. So what I like to do is say, can you find a team that seems a little bit unlikely, let's say a 30% chance to make the playoffs? And some people are thinking, and here's where the value is. Well, wait a minute. If this team only has a 1-in-3 chance to make the playoffs, even if they make it, who cares? Because they're not going to do anything. No, no, no. In the NFL, that might be true, right? Remember Seattle, right before they really started turning it on, I think had an 8-8 record, and they made the playoffs. And you would think, okay, they made the playoffs, but now what? Well, now what is they're going to get killed, chances are. But in baseball, you get a team with a 30% chance to make the playoffs, and then they have an equal chance to win it once they get there. Boy, sometimes you can find value, because – most people are applying that concept of a team that just squeaks in doesn't have much of a chance once they get there. But in baseball, that's just not the case.
RJ, I wanted to ask you about one more thing. A story you tweeted out about executives buying up stock as sports betting rolls out, Penn National, places like that. How much of this are we going to see in terms of some of the already existing companies jump in here? Or are we going to see some new players dump a bunch of money into this? It's like we kind of noticed it with, you know, with Canadian Weed last week when Heineken and those guys put a bunch of money into it. Are we going to see something from outside jump in here?
Well, I can see the synergetic marketing. It reminds me of a story. I knew this guy, or I still do, a good friend of mine, and he was a partier, man. Like 14 years old, used to drink 10 beers, one of those deals. And I remember when he was like 20, you know, maybe junior, senior at Ohio State, and I was maybe 10 years older. So he was my neighbor growing up. And I was up Ohio State, and I visited him, and we were going to go out to bars. And he sat down. He goes, hold on a second. I got to get ready. He brought out a fifth of whiskey in his weed, right? And He takes a shot of whiskey, but literally out of a shot glass, hits a one-hitter, leans back, hits the one-hitter again, takes one more shot of whiskey, hits the one-hitter, takes one more shot of whiskey, packs everything away and says, all right, I'm ready to go.
And I said, what's a one-hitter, RJ?
I don't know. He told me that was the name. But what he said was, I was never a wee guy, but I had a lot of friends that were. But what he said was, he goes, if I went to the bar sober, I'd go broke trying to catch a buzz. So I do find it funny to think, all right, Heineken and weed, I can see some synergies there, right? I think this, though, speaks on the gambling side to what I told you, and it looks, you know, pretty prescient now, what I told you guys right after the ruling. Is of the five biggest players 5 years from now in bookmaking, I'd be very surprised if more than one were a present Vegas-based book. And the exception to that would be William Hill, which is a European book first that's in Vegas. I'd be, you know, maybe even surprised if there's one. I think it's going to be, and I don't think it's going to be the Daily Fantasy either, really, but it could be. Because what's the key is UX, user experience, the ability for Facebook to make the experience better, and quite frankly, a MySpace or a Friendster didn't make the experience that good, thus they died, even though they had a bit, at least initially, a product people were very interested in. Your ability to make quick bets, to do parlays, to do teasers, all that stuff is all about UX. What in the heck does the MGM know about UX, right? They know about how to put the craps table in a certain spot and the video poker in another. They're mad geniuses at that stuff. I actually have a book. It's 450 pages long. It's called, I haven't read it yet, it's called Addiction by Design. And it's all about the way casinos attempt to maximize your playtime by just everything, the colors, the oxygen pumped in, you know, all this stuff, right? And they're masters at that. Well, you know who the masters are at that same thing online in a mobile app? It's Silicon Valley. So to me, I think we're going to see big money come in, just like we saw in, you know, think back to computers. There's a great show set actually in Dallas called Halt and Catch Fire. It was on for 4 years. It didn't get any ratings. It just ended recently, last year. And it was about the computer surge in like 1981, 82. And it was a situation where everybody and their brother started making IBM knockoffs. But eventually they all died. Xerox, where are they not? You know, think about all those computers that came and went. And it was the ones that did it best that survived. To me, a lot of money, I think, is going to go into sports betting and bookmaking specifically. But I think ultimately the differentiator is going to be user experience. And to me, that's Silicon Valley.
All right, RJ, before we let you go, we haven't talked about a lot recently about pregame.com. And we've got a ton of new listeners. Why don't you tell them a little bit about the site, where they can get your podcast, all that good stuff.
So you're saying there's more people listening today to this show than last year?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
How much? Yeah. Football starting, obviously. And I think the thing that this audience would like the most is our podcast. We have a deal with Podcast One, Adam Carolla. And I do each week, starting the first week of the NFL, I'll be on with Adam Carolla every Wednesday doing my parlay. I had my winning year last year, 1-0. And, oh, by the way, I don't want to brag, but I got to just say, for statistical accuracy, I will be starting my fifth season on Kevin and Bean, the big L.A. morning show, four straight winning seasons, baby.
Nice.
Now, that's not easy. Let me tell you guys, three picks a week, and I tweet those out at RJ in Vegas. But the Dream Preview is the one, I think. All you do is go to any of your podcast players. It can be iTunes. It can be whatever. Search for RJ Bell. You're going to see the Dream Preview. Subscribe for free. And every Wednesday a.m., you're getting 90 minutes or so deep diving the biggest college football games of the week. And then every Thursday morning, you get about 90 minutes or so deep diving all of the NFL games of the week. So what we do here, and this is a more sophisticated spot than most, but we might spend 12 minutes on the Dream Preview talking about should you buy a half point here. So if you want to learn a little bit more about this, if you're intrigued by what Fred AJ share with you and what I do in this segment, I think that next level, and Fred, I know you've got next level products and audiobooks and all that, that next level probably best with the Dream Preview, and you can just get that on any podcast player.
Hey, I was curious. We talked about, Fred and I talked about this earlier in the week. I'm always fascinated to look at when the AP Top 25 comes out, to look at the Top 25 and compare it to Vegas's Top 25 for title odds and see who's underrated, who's overrated by the AP. And, like, for instance, Michigan being the fifth favorite to win the national championship when they're nowhere near the top five in the AP poll, I think – does that mean that there's going to be value on Michigan early on in the season because the number next to their name is not as low as it should be?
Yeah, you know, that's interesting because I think there's two things that drive, and let's use college football as the very specific example here. I think there's two things that drive someone wanting to bet a team. One is what you just said. Oh, the AP, they're very smart. And I love the AP, right? We were the official odds provider for the AP. And thus, if they say this team is very, very good, I'm going to believe them. Oh, look, that very, very good team is getting points, you know, on the road against an unranked team. Okay, love it. But I think that only applies to teams that don't have a massive brand. And Michigan has a massive brand. And what I think trumps the AP or any popularity poll is Harbaugh, is Michigan, is, oh my gosh, finally he's got his own players. Oh, he's got a transfer quarterback. Now's the time. And in general, what's funny is, because we've talked about this on the Dream Preview, is like you said, is there's actually three spots of where Michigan is. One is they're underrated, I think, in the AP poll, but I think they're overrated when it comes to being the fifth favorite. I think the answer is somewhere in the middle. So when you really think about it, it's what the public thinks, it's what the wise guys think, and it's what the bookmakers think. Those are three different things. The AP represents the public, the opinions of the guys we have on the Dream Preview, the professional bettors, that's the sharp opinion. And then you've got what the title odds are, is the bookmaker's opinion. And in this case, I think there are three different places with Michigan, the truth smack in the middle. They're better than the AP, but not as good as the future odds say they are.
All right, that's RJ Bell. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas and check out pregame.com. Great stuff as always, my friend, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thank you, guys.
All right, that's RJ Bell. Texter asking any CFL plays for the weekend. My streak came to an end last night.
Oh, no.
Hamilton won but did not cover. They basically did nothing in the first half and had to come back and win, but they won by one. Number was 3.5, so that's a loss. We're 20-10-1. But tomorrow, Calgary -9 against Winnipeg. Calgary coming off its first loss of the season. They're going to be pissed, so take Calgary -9. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Wraps it up for AJ. Good luck to you guys tonight.
Thank you, sir.
And we'll see you on Monday, but another hour to go. And once again, we go to the bullpen. Jermaine Every will join me.
Give me Osuna.
Oh, the king of the punch-outs. Yeah. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.